Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the many, many things you've already blessed us with this day. And now the blessed opportunity once again to get back into your word. Open our hearts and minds so we can receive the message you want us to receive and draw close to you through the process. Thank you once again as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Something we can take a lot of comfort in and have a lot of peace with is knowing that God keeps His promises. He has preserved His Word for us, and we can study the histories and see over and over the many, many fulfillments of this, where God promised something and He kept that promise, which gives us the confidence in knowing that the promises of the future will be fulfilled, that they will come to be. In Genesis chapter 12, an example of the fulfilled promises, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." The fulfillment of this, the development and the preserving of the nation of Israel, the descendants of Abram, who later was named Abraham, still preserved today, and the most spectacular fulfillment of the promises is the last part there. It reads, "And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Because Jesus Christ come down, took on flesh to live amongst us, to be the ultimate sacrifice, to give us the opportunity of salvation, Him being a physical descendant of Abraham by way of the blood of Mary, fulfilled that promise that was given to Abraham so long ago. And then Jesus was also teaching us about another promise in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. He had an encounter with Nicodemus and was teaching Nicodemus, as we can learn here from that in verses 14 through 17. He's, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." That is that fulfillment of that blessings coming to all mankind that we read about in Genesis. Jesus Christ being the ultimate sacrifice for all of our sins. We merely need to believe in Him by living in Him and trusting in Him as our Lord and Savior. He comes into us. He comes into us in the form of the Holy Ghost, which is one of those promises that He would give us, the Holy Ghost, to indwell us, the actual Spirit of God indwelling in us. And also that He would come back and get us so that we could be with Him for eternity, which is another promise that we're looking forward to the fulfillment of. And if you will look at John chapter 14, we can see where he mentions this promise. In John chapter 14, picking up in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And now here's the promise. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And that's awesome that He has gone, but He's going to come back and get us. He keeps His promises. He's going to come back and get us. Just as He has kept His promise that He tells us further about in verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. A promise that he will come into us and live within us forever, not just part-time, not just every once in a while like it was in the Old Testament days, but permanently indwelling in us. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. And that's awesome that the Spirit of truth is coming into us so that when we see or hear anything that we can, by the power of the Holy Ghost, understand whether it is true or false. The Spirit of truth right within us. Even a Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Right there in us. As it continues, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Jesus saith, and excuse me, so we see here how he's promised us the indwelling Spirit. Here he was talking directly to the disciples who, prior to the day of Pentecost, had not yet been indwelt with the Holy Ghost. So he was telling them that this is looking forward to what they were going to have. But now, in this time period, when we trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Ghost comes into us immediately. Ever since the day of Pentecost, it has worked that way. In John chapter 14, as we pick it back up in verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Like, how can you reveal yourself to us and not to everyone? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Note, he says we. And that is so awesome that we have that kind of a relationship to be linked with the whole family, to be linked with the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, because we love him. He loved us first, and we love him. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's, which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. When we truly trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, he seals us with the Holy Ghost, and we don't have to be afraid. And we know that he has that available to us if we just tap into it, that fearlessness, that peace. In Luke 24, verse 49, it reads, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. See, this is further instructions to the disciples that were not yet indwelt with the Holy Ghost to wait, and you would be indwelt with the Holy Ghost as we see him reemphasize over in Acts chapter 1, right before the moment of the ascension of Jesus Christ, reemphasizing the promise from the Father to indwell us with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, as Jesus assembled with the disciples, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That's the promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, the envelopment of the Holy Ghost available to us. Over in Acts chapter 2, we see this being fulfilled. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Right there. Promise fulfilled. He promised it right before His ascension, 10 days later, fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Other promises, over and over in here, promised and fulfilled, prophesied and fulfilled. The promises and the prophecies of the promises that we have to look forward to will be fulfilled, will come true exactly like He has laid out for us. And it is awesome to know that they are going to be exactly like He has told us. And if we turn over to 2 Peter in chapter 1, we can see some other awesome things that we have as born-again Christians to look forward to the fulfillment of in the promises of God. In the second epistle of Peter, let's pick it up here right from the beginning. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So this is a message specifically being delivered to the truly born-again Christians. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Precious promises, multiple promises. Over and over we can look through here. The promises of blessings, the promises of rewards, the promise of a new body, the promise of a new heaven, new earth, as he continues. And beside this, giving all diligence, and to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For it, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's holy. We need to walk holy. He gives us these examples of things that we need to take on. When we trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He comes into us, He indwells us with the Holy Ghost, and He gives us a new mind, a new thought pattern, a new heart. Utilize that. Access that. Tap into that fully. Become the new creature in Christ that's available to us. In verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now this is talking about Christians. This was addressed to Christians. So this is talking about the blinded Christians. Wait a minute. They get their eyes opened. How do they become blind once again? Because they backslide. They look away from the Lord. Like Peter when he was sinking down into the water. He looked around at the waves. He looked down at his body starting to sink into the mire, into the water. Got the eyes off of Jesus Christ. These he's talking to are those that have gotten their eyes off of Jesus. You cannot see unless you look at Jesus Christ as a born-again Christian. But he that lacketh these things, which things? He's talking about earlier there, that temperance, that patience, that godliness, that brotherly kindness, the charity, and so forth. If you know somebody that at once time proclaimed to be a Christian, but now doesn't show any of the signs of a Christian, they have become this blinded Christian. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins and gotten back into them. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to keep the faith. We need to stay on the right path. We need to stay true to the Word of God. We need to stay true to the calling of the Lord to become one of His family and act like one of His family. Not to go back and link yourself back up with your old sinful ways and hook back up with Satan and try to be a sinner once again. Not going to go well for you. You will be judged for that. But look at some other wonderful things that we have to look forward to. The precious promises that we see over in chapter 3, in 2 Peter chapter 3. To some, this is going to be horrible, but to others, it's going to be wondrous. As it reads, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Reminding us of the prophecies, reminding us of the promises of God. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts." And we surely see a lot of that going on. Scoffers walking after their own lusts. These that doubt the Word, these that are contrary to the Word, these that are anti-Christ. Vast movements of these on the increase around the world. These organizations that are stirring up trouble and chaos, the rioting, the anti-Christ movements of the various groups like Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and you can, I mean, just go on and on and on. There's like 200 plus of them in the United States. So many of them out there that are anti-Christ at the core, that are selfish, lustful people at the core, because that's where walking after their own lusts. It's their own personal desires that they want to fulfill when they get into such an organization and become part of their organization. It's their own greed. It's their own selfish, lustful desires, just as he speaks here. And that's what's on the increase. The Antichrist movement that is sweeping this country is amazing how much it's going on. Fulfilled prophecy. Verse 4, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the waters and in the waters, whereby the world that then was being overflowed was with water perished." That's one of the key things that you can find out when you're talking with somebody or listening to somebody, a teacher, a professor, or a politician, or whatever. Do they trust in the Word of God? Do they trust in the record that is right here? Do they trust in the events that took place on the world, such as the worldwide flood? No, they don't believe in that. They don't believe that, that happened. But the LGBTQ bunch that use the rainbow are so stupid they don't realize the rainbow is actually a promise from God that he would not destroy the world again with water. The red is the prophecy of the destruction of the planet. The yellow is the time of grace. The blue is a reminder of what happened. And what happened was the flood all over the world. Judged sin. Judged evil mankind. Killed every man, woman, and child upon the planet. Except for those eight that came into salvation, came into that ark. That is fulfilled, and that is truth. And here we see the people that doubt that are those that are willingly ignorant of the truth. Verse 6, "Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." Talking about the worldwide flood. They don't want to believe that. Why don't they want to believe in a worldwide flood? Even though you can go anywhere on this planet and find evidence of a worldwide flood. Like when we had Vacation Bible School and I laid out table after table here of all the various fossils I've collected around the country. And those fossils are the record of the worldwide flood. It's everywhere. You can go up to the highest mountain and find seashell fossils. You go over there on the trails up like off of the Appalachian Trail by 311 and so forth. Go back in there and you dig into the bank a little bit and you'll find seashell fossils right there in the mountains. So how did all them seashells get all over the world? Because the entire world was flooded. They don't want to believe that. They don't want to believe in the fact that there's accountability for their sins. But note what we have to look forward to. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. By the word of Jesus Christ, this world is kept in store. By His word, the entire world was covered with water. By His word, it will be totally destroyed by fire. So anytime you see a rainbow, you see that red up there, that's a reminder of what is to come. A reminder and a promise that He will not flood this planet with water. But in that rainbow, we see that red, which is the fire to come. It reads, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Jesus Christ is outside of time. But why is He waiting? Why is He not come yet? He told us, I come quickly. But what does that word quickly mean? So the word quickly means suddenly. So when He comes, it's going to be an immediate and sudden event that's going to unfold. It doesn't mean in a short time it's going to happen. As it continues in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want to come right now because there's more that He wants to come in to Him and accept Him as their Lord and Savior. He don't want to just come and throw everybody in hell. He wants to give everybody a chance to become a born-again Christian. That shows His love. That shows His grace. That shows His mercy on this sinful world. Even those crazy folks I was mentioned of earlier, the perverts, as I called them, and the Antichrist groups and so forth, there's still some in there that have hope. There's still some in there that there's a chance that we could reach. So we need to love them. We need to care for them, not just criticize them and call them perverts and dummies and so forth, which is so easy to do, but also have compassion on them and share the gospel. Continue to live the example of that God wants you to live in front of them so that they can look and say, well, your lifestyle looks a whole lot better than mine. I think I'm going to get out of my horrible lifestyle and join up with yours. That's what they need to see when they see us. They need to see Jesus Christ. So we need to love and care for them, just as the Lord loves and cares for them and is waiting patiently for more to come out of those sinful ways and to come to accept Him as their Lord and Savior. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. All these crazy earth worshipers that are trying to preserve the planet, it's all going to be gone. It's all going to be melted away completely. We are stewards, yes. We are responsible for taking care of the blessings the Lord has given us, including the earth. We need to take care of the earth, but not lift it up and worship it like those folks do. Because it's going to be taken care of, preserved by Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Because He said it. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. That means Jesus Christ is keeping the planet and all the universe in store by His word. No matter what man does, they cannot destroy this planet. That's going to be done by Jesus Christ at the appropriate time, which He just mentioned. Going to burn it up, completely gone. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God? We anxiously are waiting. We want it to happen. Hurry, hurry up. We're ready to go. We're ready to get that glorified body. We're ready to get on that big, beautiful, brand new earth. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt as with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise is a new heaven and new earth. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's what we have to look forward to, the fulfillment of that promise. He says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. How do you get that way? By confessing your sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's all you have to do. It's so simple that people don't believe it. It's so simple, but yet people pass it up. They miss out on it. So simple, but it's right there for the taking. And we know that we're going to be raptured up to be with him. As you can see those verses over there in Thessalonians, as well as we know that we're going to have a glorified body, as we see over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 58. Don't have time to get to those, but look them up. You see, we're going to have an immortal body that is going to last for eternity on the brand new earth, as he reemphasizes over there in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, where I go so often, where he says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Gone, but brand new. Brand new heaven and brand new earth. Verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's what we have to look forward to. But note, all these things are given to us when we truly trust in Jesus Christ. So confess your sins, so that when you are before him, you can be found blameless. Because we know, as it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and as it appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The judgment. We need to be looking forward to that. How can you be looking forward to that? By getting it washed in the blood. Simple as that. You'll be right there at that moment of your death, smiling from ear to ear, knowing that you're going to be with the Lord shortly and be judged for what you've done, with what he has given you, with what he has blessed you with. So take care of everything that he has given you. Use it to bring honor and glory to him, and know that all the many, many promises that he has given us, so many more that we could go over just night after night and study, that have yet to be fulfilled, that we have to look forward to, so many wondrous things. So let's do what we can to bring honor and glory to him and be looking forward to those fulfilled promises, because God is not slack concerning his promise, and God keeps his promises. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the promises that you have made to us, the promises that we have to look forward to, the fulfillment of receiving that glorified body, being able to be on that new earth with you for eternity. So much to look forward to. Help all of us go out and share that good news with others out there in the world. Help us reach those folks that we mentioned earlier that are out there that are into such chaotic things, that we can reach out to them, show them love and compassion, to draw them out of that, to get them on the right path, to bring honor and glory to you. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen.